This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. The following show discusses ideas and values that are solely those of the hosts. It includes regular mentions of conspiracy theories for which there is little or no credible evidence. We recommend listeners consult a range of credible sources and seek out the views of experts. The views expressed are the show hosts only and not those of Free FM.
And thank you for joining us on Vedic Wisdom. I'd like to clarify the subject of knowledge. I had a discussion with a gentleman a couple hours ago. He postulated so many things were subjective knowledge, relative to the subject, relative to the circumstance, relative to the individual's perspective, subjective knowledge, and that he didn't really see or didn't really understand absolute knowledge. Well, this is pretty much a standard state of being for the people in this current age and current mentality. We've said many times on our program how this age is the age of hypocrisy and quarrel, shortened life, shortened memory, limited intelligence, no inclination for spiritual realization. We don't find it in our schools, in our churches or education. They're not taking a scientific understanding and explanation of reality. Knowledge, God, creation, maintenance, annihilation. Let's kind of get that subject on the table and have a look at the idea of subjective versus absolute knowledge. Now, we can all understand subjectively, we've covered this before, that you may take the subject about how to fix your computer or your car, and that is subjective. It's about that particular subject. And you may go on through your life and form opinions saying, well, I don't like this or I do like that, and that's subject to my perspective on that, my acceptance or rejection of that, which means mind, my mental attitude about that. And that is subjective knowledge. You like ice cream, I don't. You like color red, I don't. These are subjective things. And this goes on into, what do you value? What do you see as right or wrong? What do you see as important or not important? You have all these external concepts that you form from your opinion and experience, and that is all subjective. And okay, you can go ahead and make a whole bunch of conclusions from the varieties of subjects as you analyze them with your senses, mind, and intelligence. But you don't have any guarantee you're right, and you don't have any guarantee that you see all of the perspectives. This is the nature of subjective knowledge. It tends to be from a variety of perspectives, and it's very easy to overlook a multitude of perspectives. It's very easy to see it in a tunnel vision, limited perspective concept. Now, absolute knowledge is a completely different category. It's not subjected to your interpretation, your vision, your explanation. Absolute knowledge is something you can't impact. You can't change it. Absolute knowledge is something that impacts you, irrespective of your realizing it, understanding it or not. An absolute knowledge comes from a higher source. Subjective knowledge comes from limited sources. At most, it comes from my professor at the university. He is the topmost in his subject. He knows biology. I don't know. He knows biology. He's the best biology teacher. And he's giving me subjective knowledge of biology. So he's the authority in this subjective information. Well, who's the authority in absolute knowledge? Knowledge that is not changed or altered by time, set, and circumstance, or by individual endeavor. Knowledge that is fixed. That's why it's called absolute. It's not subjected to change. That knowledge originates at the supreme absolute truth. All truth emanates from a point. That point is a person, God, the Supreme Lord. In the Vedic literature, Krishna is called the supreme absolute truth repeatedly. He is the cause of all causes. He is the knower of all knowledge. He is the compiler of Vedic wisdom. that knowledge whereby the living entity achieves perfection. When we look at absolute knowledge, it's very interesting how the Lord describes it and, let's say, analyzes it for your understanding. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He understands and He knows the activities of all bodies. You may know the activities of your body, but He knows the activities of all of them. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that a citizen may know all the different aspects of his patch of land. He knows it like the back of his hand, his patch of land. But the king, he not only knows everything about his patch, his palace, he knows everything about all the land in the realm. This is the relationship we have with the Supreme Lord. We know our bodies and our activities, but Krishna knows all bodies and activities. So this is an absolute point of view. He knows all of it, absolutely, unchangeable. He doesn't miss anything. He knows it all. And you are on the limited platform with me. We're subjective. We know our bodily knowledge. What I've learned, I know, I've accumulated on a personal level, but limited to one person. And in some instances, we inquire from others and we get a consensus. But there's no way for us to possibly understand all individuals, all bodies. So the Lord says, I understand this body, all bodies, and their owners. And this is called knowledge. So He's saying that the body is the field of activities. The body is where the living entity is experiencing his desire and fulfilling activities and desires and going through changes and producing byproducts and developing, etc., etc. And He is the knower of his body. He is the knower of his field of activities. But above the living entity, there is the Lord in his super soul expansion, which we've discussed many a time here. And as the expansion is the super soul, He accompanies every living entity and He witnesses and knows what every living entity knows. Now, I know all about my body. You know all about your body, activities, thoughts, etc., etc. But since the Lord is witnessing both of us, He knows the information we both know. And then, as I just said, He knows the activities of all individual entities in all bodies. Because He is not divided in consciousness when He expands Himself into the super soul manifestation. So we can see that the Lord has the capacity to stand back and observe everything in everyone and coordinate the entire experience for all of us simultaneously because of His potency. That this whole material manifestation is acting so smoothly. Everyone is getting opportunities. Everyone is fulfilling desires. Everyone is making changes. Everyone is growing, learning, trying, endeavoring, producing byproducts, manipulating matter. Everyone is able to have this free will and do all that because the Lord as Supersoul is conscious of everything all the time and working it in such a way that things don't interfere. My desires doesn't stop yours. What you need doesn't take from me if I have a similar need. This is the universal, omnipresent aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what makes this material manifestation such a wonderful place. That there is a controller who is benevolently controlling, compassionately controlling, such that everybody gets the opportunity to fulfill desires and live a peaceful existence if they try. So the Lord says that knowing the individual bodies, all of them, being present with them in the individual bodies as the Supersoul, all of them, being the controller and creator of matter, all of it, being the controller and superior authority to nature, the mother, that all of this is manifest in a seamless expression of existence in this material world, to the point everyone is in awe. Oh, it is so beautiful. It is so vast. It is so supportive, so fulfilling, so wonderful. that we're actually seeing the manifestation of the Lord's mercy upon the living entities who are all trying to fulfill desires, that he provided this material manifestation with the help of Mother Nature for the living entities to fulfill their desires and experience. And he's doing it through the expansions of the Supersoul and his knowledge of everyone's desires. So the Lord is separate from us as the Supersoul, and we as individuals constitute the living entities seeking enjoyment. And to understand our eternal nature in a temporary place and understand the Lord's independent spiritual nature in every place, that is absolute knowledge. Anything else underneath that is subjective knowledge. Because it's relative to the activities, it's relative to time, place, and circumstance, it's relative to all sorts of other subjective aspects. But the constitutional position of you and I as living entities, and the constitutional position of the Lord in his supersoul manifestation, and the constitutional position of material nature as a subordinate playground produced by the energies, material nature of the Lord, for the interaction of all these different energies, that is absolute. It's all being played on the screen of time. And these are the factors that subjugate us. These are the factors that make our lives subjective. And this manifestation, this relationship, this eternality of the Lord, this omnipresence and omnipotency of the Lord, absolute. And this is why all knowledge derived from the absolute truth is emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his various energies. So this absolute knowledge is not changed by you or I knowing some of it or all of it, or accepting some of it or none of it. It is absolute. It is controlled and governed and created and maintained, and a symptom of the supreme absolute nature of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our material predicament, on the other hand, is subjective. It changes all the time. And what we see and understand and what we learn and what we teach, all of these things, is based subjectively. Because we're in this material manifestation working with senses and mind and intelligence and ego. And this is our perspective. And it's all played upon the screen of time. I don't have an unlimited lifetime. I have a limited terminal type lifetime. I will live not more than 100 years. I will live a duration of life as according to higher authority, the witness of the Supersoul, the plan of the Supreme Lord, the opportunity provided by material nature, my interaction with all those forces, and the root is my desires. So this is the relationship of nature. This is the relationship of the Supreme Lord. This is the relationship of you and I as the enjoyers of this experience. And it is all over a period of time. When one understands this, this is absolute knowledge. And everything else plays out as we get more and more and more into the details of this arrangement. The how long, the to what extent, the to what reason, to what benefit, to what intent, to the purpose, to the result. All of this plays out underneath the basic perspective we have just covered. So as you see the Vedic knowledge, Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is what I'm reading from, quoting from for you today, is absolute knowledge. It is not subjected to you or I accepting or rejecting it. It is knowledge and information coming from the creator of the material manifestation and the knower of all knowledge. And it is being delineated in the Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord personally speaks this information, and it is written down for us to remember. So this Vedic knowledge and this relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given to us and explained to us through the transparent via media of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is not here to educate you on subjective knowledge. He's here to inform you and educate you and enlighten you on absolute knowledge and all its intricate actions and interactions, such that you are then able to work within the levels of varieties of subjective knowledge. But that is over to your free will and independence and desires and history and plan and potential and etc. So the spiritual master, he steps above this subjective knowledge and he focuses, along with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on absolute knowledge. The spiritual master identifies it for you, defines it for you, and shows you how it's emanating from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, on the other hand, he teaches you what is knowledge and what is ignorance. And he gives you good instruction of how to keep yourself always on a platform of knowledge and realization, and how to avoid the pitfalls of subjective knowledge and perspectives. Because these subjective perspectives, you can spend a lifetime understanding them all, and as soon as you get them understood, they've already changed. There was an article I read and posted actually recently about how 60% of university students are actually taking courses in dying subjects. The change of technology and the change of the human momentum as it's happening to us, it's called the quickening if you haven't identified that, it is changing so quickly that the universities can't document, textbook, analyze, produce text and curriculum to teach the knowledge as fast as it's changing. So that when you get done with a university education, it's already old. This is the same situation. The subjective knowledge of this material world is just like that. It is changing constantly. And for the spiritual master to spend his time keeping you informed of subjective knowledge is a waste. Because the spiritual master is on a much higher platform understanding absolute knowledge. And if you step out of your subjective study and look at absolute study, look at absolute knowledge, and become astute, trained, informed in the absolute nature of knowledge of the Lord, the Super Soul, His manifestation, the cosmic manifestation, nature's role, the living entity's eternal nature, the temporary existence in a material body, the curtain of time that all this manifestation is played over, the results of actions and interactions. If you study these absolute subjects, all the subjective subjects become revealed to you. And you don't have to study them separately. Okay? It's all of the things are concluded. Just like the idea that you can have a well in a village and one well is for drinking and one well is for doing clothes and one well is for cleaning. But all of those purposes can be satisfied by the river. So that is the situation. You can study the wells, the subjective wells, or you can study the river, absolute knowledge. And this is what the disciplic succession is about. The master and disciple relationship is on the absolute platform of knowledge that is meant for the upliftment of the human civilization. It's meant for the education of the human species on the absolute truth, on our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is service, what is devotion, what is right intent, what is right desire, what is beneficial, what is not beneficial, what is your duty and responsibility. This is all absolute knowledge. This is what we should, as intelligent living entities, this is what we should seek out. That information whereby we get absolute knowledge, because when we see absolute subjects, we see absolute perspective, the relative subjects become revealed. So you look at your life and you see how much are you wasting your time on subjective perspectives and how little do you know about absolute knowledge. And if you have intelligence, you will turn that around. And if you want to turn that around, you must take up study of the Vedic literature. You will not find the scientific answers in any other text anywhere. The Vedic knowledge is absolutely light years ahead of any other knowledge or scriptural injunction that's on the planet currently, or has ever been on the planet. It is emanating from the Supreme Absolute Truth. It is created by the Supreme Absolute Truth. It is impregnated into the universe by the Absolute Truth, and it is sustained and maintained and protected so that you get the Absolute Truth at any time, at any era, at any age, at any point in the material manifestation, as purely as when it first came. That's not happening with anything else on the planet. Any other literary endeavor on the planet, it is not happening. So coming to Vedic knowledge and reading and learning it and understanding absolute knowledge lifts one out of this misconception of being the body on this temporary life being the all in all. The spiritual master instructs, encourages. In fact, he describes that one can understand, evaluate his level of advancement by his degree of detachment from this temporary perspective of life, the subjective perspective. As one gives up this subjective perspective, his knowledge grows and his advancement grows. And one can see who is advanced and who is not advanced by when he actually sees subjective knowledge is minimized and absolute knowledge is his focus. So this is the human form of life we're in. This is the age of quarrel we're in, hypocrisy, anxiety. This is the great opportunity we're supposed to be picking up, liberating ourselves from the misconceptions. Now, it's almost time to go, but I'd like to make a comment and a thank you. This program gets rebroadcast in many places, and you can pick them up on iTunes and TuneIn and Access Radio and Rush FM. All of these are broadcasting to the rest of the world, and thank you all for downloading. We're getting over 700 downloads a month on just the Free FM network. So I'd like to thank you for that and encourage you to please listen to our program. Thank you so much for your attendance and downloading our programs. We'll do our best to enlighten you and inform you on the science of self-realization, coming to your perfected state in spiritual consciousness, the science of God, Krishna consciousness.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.